NDR Info. Nachtclub.
So, bei mir im Studio in der zweiten Stunde ist, wie gesagt, Jenny Wahl aus Norwegen. Und sie kommt gleich zu Wort. Aber erstmal Musik von ihrem aktuellen neuen Album, Apocalypse Girl. Hier ist das Stück Heaven. Das war Heaven von Apocalypse Girl, das neue Album von Jenny Wahl. Und sie ist bei mir im Studio. Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. It's good to see you. I'm glad you could make it.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm glad too.
Yeah, because the record company tended to make the impression it was going to be quite a stressful thing for you to actually get here on time. But you, in fact, you ended up being half an hour early, which is great.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. we're on tour, so it's always stressful to get anywhere, I guess, because, you know, getting up is hard.
Of course, yeah.
But we're not in America, so we're not driving for 9 hours every day, and it's good.
Are you aware of the venue you're playing actually tonight? Do you know it's a very arty venue?
Yeah, and, I've heard it's very good, yeah. But I've never been here before. This is where I've stepped out of the car in Hamburg,
right,
for the first time.
Well, it'll be quite an academic audience there tonight. Mm-hmm. So, and actually, it's interesting to what extent you actually feel you are, in that sense, a difficult artist, or in what sense do you feel you're an artist with a pop appeal. Have you actually got a vision of where you fit in that respect?
Not sure if I fit in. I mean, I try not to think too much about fitting in anywhere in particular, because that would limit my work a bit, I think. I chose to do music instead of academic work. And I think the reason is that I like to do... to be more open to kind of combining or showing something complex, but also working within a framework that can be very simple. Because to me, there's no huge divide between the super complex or academic and the emotional and simple. It's all kind of connected. And I think it is that way for a lot of intellectual workers of all kinds.
Right, okay. Ja, ich fragte Sie, inwiefern Sie sich tatsächlich als eine Art so schwierige Künstlerin betrachtet und inwiefern Sie sich als Pop-Künstlerin betrachtet. Und sie meinte, sie mag sich nicht so gerne festlegen. Sie hat sich schon für Musik entschieden und sie hat sich dagegen entschieden, so eine Akademikerin zu werden und akademische Arbeit zu machen. Also Musik ist ihre Leidenschaft. Und sie sagt, dass einerseits ist es sehr komplex und kompliziert, was sie macht, aber es kann auch einen anderen Rahmen haben, also von Schlichtheit und Einfachheit. Und das eine schließt das andere nicht aus. Und sie meinte, viele Künstler denken so wie sie, dass sie schon ganz gerne, also ganz raffiniert und kultiviert und komplex arbeitet, aber dann gibt es auch manchmal absolute Schlichtheit und Einfachheit. And this recent album now, well, it's brand new, isn't it really, Apocalypse?
Yeah.
The Apocalypse Girl is, it's interesting because it's probably musically more gentle than anything you've ever done, but that doesn't make it necessarily easier to consume. Do you know what I'm saying? That it's, on the one hand, it's not as abrasive maybe as some things you've done in the past, but on the other hand, it's not easy listening. A lot of people think if something's gentle, it's going to be quite easy listening.
I don't know. I think most other people would be better judges with that stuff than I would. I always find my stuff very direct. And to me, that direct means accessible. So I don't really, I mean, I would only think about those things in my least interesting moments.
Okay.
When I'm at my least interesting, I think. To me, this is a pop album. But of course, a pop album can contain, just like a movie you see in the cinema can contain awfully complex stuff. But the reason why my album could seem more difficult is that the combination of lyrics and music and certain, I guess, artistic ideas, that combination is quite unusual, because the title Apocalypse Girl, I mean, the use of the word apocalypse would usually mean that there would be very loud music, and certainly the apocalypse is usually presented as something more in the metal universe with a lot of conventions and within a certain genre sort of framework. And I guess it's more palatable there than it is in more kind of pop, softer music or not as loud music. So yeah, I think it's the combination that's making it a bit more special. or difficult?
Ja, sie sagt, dass das Album ungewöhnlich wirkt, eigentlich, weil auf der einen Seite ist es also sehr sanft, von was die Arrangements betrifft, aber das heißt nicht, dass es ein einfaches Album ist. Sie betrachtet es zwar als ein Pop-Album, aber im weitesten Sinne des Wortes. Und sie sagt, dass es vielleicht einen etwas merkwürdigen Eindruck vermittelt, also auch wegen des Albumtitels Apocalypse Girl, also apokalyptisches Mädchen, weil das würde man oft in Zusammenhang zum Beispiel mit Metal-Musik verwenden, also mit härteren Klängen und mit sehr sperrigen Klängen. Und ihre Musik ist eigentlich das Gegenteil davon. Und das wirkt vielleicht ein bisschen verwirrend auf manche Leute. Aber letztendlich denkt sie nicht so viel darüber nach, also wie eingängig die Musik ist. Also für sie ist es alles eine direkte Aussage und sie ist wirklich nicht bewusst schwierig. Because the album starts off with the song King Size, which is, you start off with a quote, don't you, from a Danish poet, presumably a Danish poet that means a lot to you.
She's not a poet I've been familiar with for all my life, but she's a contemporary writer that I read a bit of her work a few years back and I was really taken by it, but then as I was writing this album, and I was already in the studio by then, I needed to do a song that was meant to be an instrumental. So I was reading a lot of her poetry. This is Mette Mostrup, the Danish poet, and I just started writing off a quote. And so this track, King Size, was meant to be an instrumental, but became almost nothing but words instead.
Okay. And she basically just inspired you to start off the album with her, more or less. Seemed like a natural thing for you to do.
Yeah, it wasn't meant to be at the start, but it sits well there, I think. So I'm happy about it.
And you relate to her, presumably. I mean, do you actually feel in some way spiritually bonded to her? Because it's quite a big statement to start an album with a quote from somebody else.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think I don't really see... I mean, to me, it doesn't really matter. To me, I work so much with taking pieces of sound from other things, like field recordings and YouTube videos, and I work a lot with things I find. So to me, it's a very natural thing. As long as it's my voice that's kind of thinking about it, I don't need to kind of have my own words as a start of an album.
Okay. Ja, wir hören jetzt gleich das Stück King Size, und das ist das erste Stück auf dem Album Apocalypse Girl von Jenny Wahl. Und es ist ein bisschen ungewöhnlich als Einstieg, weil die erste Zeile ist ein Zitat aus einem Gedicht von einer dänischen Dichterin. Also Mette Mostrup, how do you pronounce the name again?
Mostrup,
I think you can pronounce it better than me, so leave it your pronunciation.
Hopefully.
Und dieses Stück war eigentlich ursprünglich als Instrumentaleinstieg gedacht. Aber dann hat sie dann diese Gedichte gelesen und das fand sie sehr inspirierend. Und für sie war es eine ganz natürliche Art, um das Album zu beginnen. Und ich fragte sie, ob sie tatsächlich sich mit ihr so identifiziert, ob sie sich mit ihr so geistig verwandt fühlt. Und sie meinte gewissermaßen schon. Aber es geht einfach darum, dass sie immer so andere Klänge oder Zitate geliehen hat, auch musikalisch. Also sie nimmt Geräusche von irgendwelchen YouTube-Videos oder von irgendwelchen so... Feld- und Wiesenaufnahmen irgendwo in der Natur, und es ist für sie ganz natürlich, irgendwelche Fremdkörper mit einzubauen, und für sie ist es nicht irgendwie merkwürdig, das Album damit anzufangen. Und das hören wir jetzt, also King Size von Jenny Wahl von dem Album Apocalypse Girl. So King Size von Jenny Wahl von dem Album Apocalypse Girl, und sie ist bei mir in Studio gerade. Because it has to be said that your lyrics are not run-of-the-mill pop lyrics and are likely to be censored in some quarters, I would imagine. We don't need to worry about it so much here because we're in Germany and people don't understand what you're saying anyway. Mm. So, no, but I mean, you don't come over as being the kind of aggressive person who's deliberately trying to be rude, right? So it has poetic and aesthetic reasons, obviously.
I think, I'm actually such a kind of, I wouldn't say soft, but I'm not an aggressive person at all. So I think that's kind of saying something about how much I believe in expressing this material, because I guess it would be fair to think for some listeners that I'm trying to provoke, But it's almost like I'm doing the opposite to me. It's like trying to put sexuality into a more natural and open world of expression, so that when I talk about things very frankly, well, at least to me, it feels like I'm expanding on what those kind of taboo-ish expressions really mean. Because as long as they're kept in this taboo-y kind of world, they mean very little. They just mean power and sex. And to me, there's so much other stuff about being human and the body and sexuality. It's free and open and can mean a thousand different things, but it's not allowed to. And I think it is definitely, it is in literature and in visual arts, but why can't it be interpreted in a broader scope in pop music? I don't really understand why things have to be so coded and so many things have to be avoided in pop music. To me, I have great respect for pop music, and I think it should be able to contain and hold everything.
Right, okay. Ja, ihre Texte sind teilweise ziemlich provokant für die Verhältnisse von normaler Popmusik. Also ich kann mir durchaus vorstellen, dass in einigen Ländern, gerade in englischsprachigen Ländern, dass ihre Songs tatsächlich zensiert werden könnten. Und sie weiß das natürlich, dass ich erzähle nichts Neues dabei, aber sie sagt, sie ist überhaupt keine aggressive Person. Und sie ist überhaupt nicht ihr Bedürfnis, vulgär zu sein auf irgendeine Weise. Aber es ist ihr natürlich unterstellt worden, dass sie tatsächlich absichtlich provozieren will. Aber das ist für sie nicht der Sinn der Übung. Für sie geht es tatsächlich um einen echten Ausdruck der Sexualität. Und sie sagt, dass bestimmte Wörter, die als schmutzige Wörter gelten, als Tabu-Wörter, sie sind nur so, weil man das einfach so betrachtet. Es ist eine Frage der Perspektive. Und sie meinte, man könnte diese Wörter auch anders meinen. Und nette meinen oder menschliche meinen, humane meinen. Und natürlich nach dem traditionellen Bedeutung dieser sogenannten schmutzigen Wörter können sie nur, also wirklich nur Macht und Sex bedeuten. Aber es ist tatsächlich möglich, Sexualität als was Befreiendes zu erleben. Und solche Wörter könnten eine ganz andere Bedeutung dann annehmen. Und das ist ihr Wunsch, dass eigentlich diese Freiheit quasi zu zelebrieren. Und sie sagt, in der Literatur oder auch in der visuellen Kunst, in der Malerei oder sowas, denn es ist überhaupt nicht verboten, mit solchen Wörtern umzugehen. Aber in der Popmusik ist es irgendwie nicht erlaubt. Und da sieht sie nicht ein. Und sie hat einen großen Respekt vor der Popmusik, aber sie meinte, dass es wirklich, dass alles tatsächlich erlaubt werden sollte. Do you think there's it applies to quite a few of the songs on the album, but is there a song on the album which you think embodies first and foremost what you've just been saying about you embracing this freedom of sexuality?
Well, I would say that there are like several kind of arcs on the album. They might include a couple of songs because they kind of go into one another, but the first three songs, maybe, King Size to Take Care of Yourself and then straight into That Battle Is Over. I did put them in order to kind of create the idea of one movement, or at least kind of you have the opportunity to listen that way. So maybe it is there. I mean, it could also be the song Sabbath, which is very much about like a very open or kind of transcendent way of seeing identity and gender as well. So I guess it's kind of all over the place.
Okay. Should we go for Sabbath then? You just elaborated on that. Okay. Yeah. So wir hören gleich das Stück Sabbath, und sie meinte, es gibt einige Songs auf dem Album, die tatsächlich so diese Lebenseinstellung von ihr sehr gut darstellen und repräsentieren. Die ersten drei Songs, King Size, Take Care of Yourself and That Battle Is Over, und auch dieses Lied Sabbath, das wir gleich hören. Dieses Stück Sabbath, also stellt eine Art so fast transzendentale Darstellung von der Sexualität dar. Also eine absolute so ekstatische Freiheit im Prinzip im Zusammenhang mit der Sexualität. Also hier ist Sabbath von Jenny Wahl von dem Album Apocalypse Girl. So das war Sabbath von Jenny Wahl von dem neuen Album Apocalypse Girl, und sie ist jetzt gerade bei mir im Studio. So you're actually resident in Norway, but I think I read somewhere you did actually live in Australia for a while.
I did, yeah, for 4 years. But right. It's a while back. I moved back to Norway in 2004.
Right, so home is where the heart is, obviously.
Well, yeah, sometimes home is also where just the home is.
Yeah, okay.
Home is where the passport is, you know.
Oh, I see. It has something to do with that, were you? You're an illegal immigrant, were you?
No. No, I was studying. I could have stayed, but I didn't. I'm happy in Norway.
Where were you in Australia? Whereabouts?
I lived in Perth for a year, which I really hated. But I was also 19, 20 at the time, so I'm not sure if that really counts. I lived in Melbourne for 3 years after that, which I grew to love very much.
Okay. But you're now in Oslo.
Mm.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And is it actually easy enough to concentrate your efforts in a place like Oslo? I mean, is it cosmopolitan enough? Would it not be wiser to be in London or to be in New York?
Maybe it would be. But at the same time, being in a smaller place does enable me to be free in a different way. I mean, I love traveling and playing and getting a lot of impulses. And it's very important to realize that the world is not entirely, it can't be summed up in your own city, or especially when it's as small as my country and where I come from. Because that's very limiting. But, yeah, I mean, living in Norway gives you a lot of artistic freedom because we have... it's still tough to be an artist, but it's possible to kind of get by. And that it's very hard to move away from your home country and financially manage to get by in any sort of way, especially as an artist, I think. So for me, it's worked out... as long as I travel and get away and don't think of the world as being the opinions of just Oslo, I think it's good to be the odd one in my town.
Right, okay. But when you come back from like a tour of America, does it seem strange getting back to Oslo?
Very strange,
so quiet and peaceful, I suppose, back to prison.
Yeah, when you tour America, you see a lot of quiet places too, because you have to drive these enormous stretches of nothing. But after so many impulses, so many different people, so many different cities, so many big places, coming back is very strange. But it's when you've traveled and moved for so long, it's strange anyway. You know, it's strange just not getting into a car every day or on a plane. So just sitting still is really strange.
Right. So you just sit still in Oslo for a week and don't move, just to recover?
Pretty much, yeah. I think it's a common thing.
Right, okay. Ja, sie hat eine Weile in Australien gelebt, zu studieren, in Perth und 3 Jahre in Melbourne. Perth hasste sie, Melbourne fand sie großartig. Sie war sehr jung zu dem Zeitpunkt, so 19, 20. Inzwischen lebt sie wieder in Oslo, schon seit 9 Jahren. Und da fühlt sie sich letztendlich am wohlsten. Das ist ihr Zuhause. Und sie ist aber sehr viel unterwegs, sehr viel auf Tour, und das liebt sie über alles. Und das ist für sie kulturell sehr wichtig. Das ist als Lernprozess, als Bildung auch. Und sie weiß, dass Oslo in Norwegen eigentlich so ein kleiner Ort ist und dass nicht so viel los ist da, auch kulturell. Und deshalb ist es sehr wichtig für sie, die Erfahrungen woanders zu sammeln. Und es ist ihr klar, dass nicht nur die Ansichten von norwegischen Menschen existieren, sondern es gibt auch eine ganz große Welt da draußen, wo die Leute ganz, ganz anders ticken. Und das lernt sie dann auch kennen. Aber sie fühlt sich auch sehr künstlerisch frei in Norwegen, gerade weil sie in Ruhe gelassen wird. Und sie meinte, das ist auch ein Vorteil, in Norwegen zu sein, weil finanziell ist es schon schwierig, sich in einem anderen Land zu etablieren eigentlich. Das ist also nicht besonders einfach, in einem anderen Land tatsächlich auf Dauer zu leben und finanziell unabhängig zu sein. I think I read somewhere that you actually grew up in a very religious part of Norway. I mean, a lot of people won't even be aware of the fact that it's a very religious part of Norway. Everyone knows about America in that respect, don't they? With the Bible Belt there, but you don't really hear so much about the Norwegian Bible Belt. But there is one, and you were actually right in the thick of it. Is that right?
I was in the thick of it, but only while I went to high school. I mean, I'm not from a religious family, and I didn't grow up, like, surrounded by it. But there was a time when I was confronted by quite American style Christianity, very like confronted to the point where I sort of have to think about it every day. And that was, yeah, that was kind of my high school years and a bit before that. So I was never religious, but on the one hand, I had a lot of friends who were. And on the other hand, I was trying to maybe to find, very hard to find my identity elsewhere. And with music, it was hard because I wanted to do music, but so much of the music that was in the place I grew up was about religion and religious ecstasy and religious expression, and so kind of observing that for years was very interesting and also very weird.
It's like a Pentecostal high school you went to or something.
Well, I mean, I don't think that necessarily everybody who's gone to that high school would have had that experience. It might have been a special class or a special time that I went to the school, but yeah, for a while it did feel a bit like that. There were lots of meetings during, you know, school hours, and I did see some things I had not expected coming from a non-religious family. Yeah, it was a bit shocking at times.
But you didn't have a conversion experience yourself of any sort?
No, I was very clear on what I did not want to go into.
Right. Mm. Es ist interessant, dass also man verbindet Norwegen nicht unbedingt mit religiösem Fundamentalismus, aber sie ist tatsächlich zur Schule gegangen in einer Gegend, wo es sehr viel ziemlich so extreme Christen gab, also frei evangelische Christen, auch von der Pfingstgemeinde. Und viele ihrer Freunde waren sehr involviert in diese Kirche. Und das hat sie natürlich geprägt, obwohl sie selbst nicht aus einer religiösen Familie stammt. Aber dennoch war sie tatsächlich nicht völlig frei davon, weil sie letztendlich diese Leute um sich hatte, die dann permanent irgendwelche gläubige Äußerungen von sich gegeben haben. Und sie fühlte sich tatsächlich etwas unter Druck gesetzt von diesen Leuten. Aber sie hat sich immer davon distanziert. Sie hat also wirklich versucht, sich zu behaupten und sich davon nicht richtig davon beeinflussen zu lassen. Es hat natürlich trotzdem so Spuren hinterlassen. Und das war schon ein bisschen eigenartig, also diese Schule, wo sie dann hingegangen ist. So we're going to hear another song from the album Apocalypse Girl now. Take Care of Yourself. Also wir hören jetzt noch ein Stück von dem Album Apocalypse Girl von Jenny Varr. Take Care of Yourself. And that's why Take Care of Yourself von Jenny Varr from the album Apocalypse Girl. And because it's quite ironic that you've been working together on this album with a Norwegian producer who's produced lots of really extreme metal as well. So was that kind of like a conscious stance to work together with people like that? Oh, I don't know whether he's actually done any black metal, but...
No, he does. He hasn't.
But it's certainly not Christian music he's been producing.
Definitely not. He hasn't done much metal. I mean, he probably has mixed some, but he's worked with the noise, within the noise circuit.
Right, okay.
The sort of harsh noise music. And I've always really liked his music.
I can't remember in writing. Lasse, what's his surname?
Mar Haug.
Right, okay. Yeah, he's the producer.
Yeah. I got very interested in his work. I mean, first as a musician, because I saw him play a few times. And this is why it's good to work in Norway, because it's kind of small. So you can very easily kind of get to see a lot of very different music. And then you get to learn that these people are very interested in, you know, a lot of other things too. And he interviewed me for he's got a fanzine because he does so many different things. He has a publishing house and so he does a fanzine, and he interviewed me. And then I thought the conversation was so interesting, and he told me a lot about kind of where he came from, which was this interest in film, in cult films, and growing up with like swapping VHS films and ordering films through like underground networks in the mail, because he grew up in the north of Norway where there was almost nothing and right. No culture. So this kind of underground cult film background was very appealing to me musically, because I'm also a huge film nerd and I've studied film. That's what I did in Australia
right, okay.
Some of the time, and I've always taken a lot of inspiration from film and film sound, not soundtracks, but with a few exceptions, but like dialogue and just sounds recorded in film settings. So the conversation about film became so interesting that I asked him to produce my album. And then it turned out that he had a lot of interest in pop music as well. So, yeah.
That's
Don't judge a book
about.
By its cover.
No, exactly. Yeah. Nee, ich dachte, es ist eine Ironie, dass sie mit diesem Produzenten Lasse zusammengearbeitet hat, weil ich habe mitbekommen, dass er ziemlich extreme Metal-Musik auch produziert hat. Und sie meinte, er hat sowas zwar gemacht, aber nicht nur. Er hat also hauptsächlich so in den Noise-Bereich, in dem avantgardistischen Noise-Bereich gearbeitet. Und sie haben sich dadurch kennengelernt, dass er sie interviewt hat. Er hat sein eigenes Fanzine. Und sie fand das Gespräch so spannend. Und sie hat dann rausgekriegt, dass er auch dann Produzent ist. Und dass er auch besessen ist von Filmen. Und sie hat auch Filme studiert in Australien. Und sie haben sich für dieselben Kultfilme teilweise interessiert. Und also seine Herkunft und sein Umfeld fand sie ganz spannend. Und dazu kam es, dass sie dann zusammen so effektiv zusammengearbeitet haben. Going back to this religious, not upbringing, but influence. Has that informed what you do on this album as well? Because it seems there's quite a lot of religious connotations on the album of one sort or another. And has it something to do with that childhood? Actually come to terms with that, do you think? Or is it not necessarily an immediate connection?
Well, it's kind of a little bit hard to say because I think you're always trying to come to terms with yourself, no matter if you do like an album of harsh noise or pop songs with lyrics about your childhood. But for me with this album, it was important to ask the question, how can I break out of this kind of boring idea of being an alternative artist? That was very important to me for a while. Because I've been recording music for a few years now, and I'm sort of interested in going a bit beyond being this. Because I mean, when you're an alternative or kind of minor artist, it's easy to fall into this kind of categorization that you should do this but not this. And I've also studied writing, which is all about you should show, not tell, and all these rules about what you should and shouldn't write. I was very intrigued by all the things that I've always told myself not to do. And one of those things is childhood. Another thing is big themes. It's like an ongoing joke between me and many of the people I've known have been this kind of these, the big themes that are always cliches, like the sea, death, love, and like, and religious sort of themes. And maybe growing up in this religious part of Norway also has kind of had some impact on that, because I remember like people reading Christian novels, and they would always have covers that looked really cliched, like with, you know, clouds, dramatic clouds with the sun coming out. Like it's so many cliches. But then I kind of really wanted, as we were recording this album, I thought, well, what do I want to do? Well, I want to express self-confidence. And the only way of doing that is kind of going into those big themes and doing what I've always thought would be bad, and would maybe put myself at risk in a way. And I think that's where it came from, wanting to kind of destroy my own idea of myself as an artist a little bit. And so out of that came this kind of battling with big themes.
Okay. Ja, also Jenny sagt, dass sie die Absicht hatte, was dieses Album betrifft, sich zu befreien von dieser so gängigen Vorstellung von ihr als eine langweilige Alternative-Künstlerin. Wir wollen natürlich nicht sagen, dass sie langweilig ist, aber das meint sie natürlich ein bisschen selbstironisch. Aber sie wollte sich irgendwie neu erfinden. Und sie denkt, dass sicherlich ihre Kindheit hat dieses Album geprägt. Das ist eigentlich immer der Fall, ob man es möchte oder nicht. Und sie sagt, dass es gibt so klischeehafte Themen in der Kunst, die immer wieder vorkommen. Und sowas wie das Meer oder der Tod und die Liebe und Religion, so große Themen. Und sie hat eigentlich versucht, in der Vergangenheit solche so Klischeebegriffe zu meiden, weil sie das irgendwie doch peinlich fand oder einfach zu offensichtlich. Und sie hat früher, als sie in Norwegen aufgewachsen ist, in dieser religiösen Gegend, gesehen, wie viele Leute so christliche Romane gelesen haben. Und die Covers, die Book-Covers waren immer so extrem klischeehaft, irgendwelche dramatische Wolkenlandschaften. Und sie hat sich immer davon distanzieren wollen, weil sie das eigentlich so lächerlich fand. Aber dann, als es um dieses Album ging, dann hat sie gedacht, ja, denn eigentlich will sie so tatsächlich besonders selbstbewusst und extrovertiert dann wirken. Und vielleicht soll sie sich wirklich dann mit diesen großen Themen beschäftigen und mit irgendwelchen Klischeen spielen. Und nicht unbedingt versuchen, klischeehaft zu sein, aber irgendwie so mit den Grenzbereichen von Klischees dann spielen. Und so ist dieses Album so entstanden. So, another question again. Is there a track which proves that point more than any other, do you think?
I guess it would be King Size.
Which we've already
because
played.
Because of the quote.
We've already played
but
that.
But there's also Holy Land.
Holy Land, which is very, very long, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it takes us to the end of the show, that will then. Yeah. Well, that's okay, yeah. We're getting to the end of the show anyway. So Holy Land is probably a good one.
Yeah.
I think so.
And you played Heaven as well.
Yes.
Which would also be a pick for that.
Yeah, I think Holy Land's an interesting song. Obviously, the fact that it's so long for a start, which is always a slightly courageous thing to do. But it's also the fact that it's so totally different to anything else on the album, I think,
yeah. You
know, in terms of pace and just... It almost took me a bit by surprise that, huh, okay, we're really slowing down now. We're going to start meditating now. Was that the idea? We meant to be starting meditating at the end of it all?
Well, I think that's the kind of aside to my music that I've never been able to put on an album. This floating in space interest. And I think working with Lasse made it possible to, because we did a lot of looping and just listening to very short just soundscapes. And that was a very interesting way to work because I came into the studio with a lot of songs. But then when you kind of pick them apart, you have all these kind of beautiful textures when you've recorded, even if it's... within a melody, if you just take out a short excerpt, you can always kind of just be listening to that, those 2 seconds over and over for an hour, and then you have this meditation experience, even if it is from a pop song. And so Holy Land came about in that way. And I think we were both always, like we always knew that it would be on the album, it would be really long. Yeah, that was a great way for me to end an album, I think. It's kind of like the rest of the album is quite busy. I'm saying a lot of things, but then I leave the listener to him or herself at the end.
Right, okay. Ja, wir hören jetzt zum Schluss das Stück Holy Land. Das ist ein langes Stück am Schluss des Albums. Und es ist das erste Mal, dass sie so ein Lied überhaupt geschrieben hat. Sehr lang, sehr ruhig und meditativ. Und sie sagt auch, es ist tatsächlich Neuland für sie. Und sie hat eigentlich schon immer früher sowas gerne machen wollen, hat sich nicht richtig getraut. Aber man kann richtig schweben in diesem Lied. Und das war wirklich ganz bewusst so, dass sie tatsächlich, ansonsten ist das Album, meint sie eigentlich so sehr vollgepackt mit Ideen. Und nicht überfüllt, aber wirklich sehr voll mit Ideen. Und der Hörer muss sich permanent mit irgendwelchen neuen Inhalten auseinandersetzen und hat keine Sekunde Ruhe quasi. Und dann am Schluss ist genau das Gegenteil. Also dann wird er in Ruhe gelassen. Da kann er anfangen zu meditieren und einfach irgendwie sich langsam abreagieren. Als schöner Abschluss im Album. Right, so we'll do that. We'll finish off with Holy Land. And thanks very much for coming out to talk to me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And yeah, all the best tonight.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, wir hören jetzt zum Schluss, wie gesagt, Holy Land von dem Album Apocalypse Girl von Jenny Wahl. Und das war der Nachklub mit Paul Baskerville. Ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.